The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Andy Holding and James Millman in the studio. It's Epsom and Musselburgh domestically. There's also a good card over in the Curra, which features the Group 2 Beresford Stakes. That's their feature race, and plenty of other pattern races on their card as well. So a good day to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is William Hill Radio's Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Very well, Mark. And yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good.
Off the back of a good few days at Newmarket. We can't talk about Saturday's results because we don't know them yet.
It ain't happened yet. If we did, we wouldn't be sat here, would we?
Exactly. But we can look back at what was a pretty fabulous Friday as well. And we'll just start by looking at the two group races on their card. The Rockfell Stakes went the way of Lucida. Mm. She was even money favourite, and she had the best form in the book going into the race. And she showed herself to be quite a nice filly there, didn't she?
Yeah, no surprises in her winning. And what she showed, as she's shown on a number of occasions now, is that while she's not a spectacular filly in the way that she goes about her business, she's very, very tough and finds plenty for pressure, because certainly with a couple of furlongs to run, there were other fillies that were travelling more powerfully through the race than her. Kevin Manning was perched quite low in the saddle and just scrubbing along. But she's responded to pressure, and in the end, at the line, she's a length on top of Fadé Hill, who shaped very well considering it was only her third career start. She looked like she might win coming inside the final furlong, and I think possibly a touch of greenness has just seen her run out of it in the end. New Providence back in third place and Tegrilla in fourth give the form a solid look to it, if not a spectacular one. But Lucida is certainly on the right path, and I thought it was very interesting after the race to hear her trainer Jim Bolger speak of her in a similar light to Finch Gilbeo. He was quoted as saying, "I thought before today that this filly, Lucida that is, had a little more tone than Finch Gilbeo, but possibly not. I don't think there's a lot between the two." Well, of course, we know how good Finch Gilbeo was. She too was very tough. She took a lot of racing in the early part of her three-year-old career. Yeah, I think Lucida is a filly to keep on the right side of in what still appears to be quite an open division, the fillies division.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, the Colts division is as well.
Yeah, I suppose it is, yeah. Fair enough. Impressive performance from her. An equally impressive performance, perhaps more so, from Custom Cut in the Joel Stakes. He got out in front and then just stretched his lead and never came back to them. And he's in real good form at the moment. I think that's five in a row for him,
yeah,
now.
Yeah, five in a row, as you say. He's a horse who's thriving and has thrived in the late part of the summer. Took his new connections a little while to get his head in front, having acquired him at the back end of last year. I think he was maybe beaten on his first four or five runs for them. But now he's won five in a row, as we said. And his attitude yesterday was fantastic. He made all. I thought Daniel Tuttle gave him a fantastic ride as well. For a man who plies his trade up the north of England, I think he rides the Rolly Mile particularly well. We've seen him to good effect in this Joel Stakes on a couple of occasions now. Of course, he was good on Penitent, yep, in the 2012 renewal as well, Mark. No credit all round. And it was another big September prize for David O'Mara and Daniel Tudhope.
Yeah, they're flying at the moment, aren't they? Silver Cambridgeshire went the way of GM Hopkins, another big race success for John Gosden and William Buick. We'll find out how they get on Saturday, but it proved to be a very good day for the yard, didn't it?
Yeah, it did indeed, yeah. They had a fantastic day, and they had a couple of nice winning two-year-olds at Haydock as well, Mark. A filly and a colt,
yeah,
whose names escape me, but I will find now. The filly was Lap of Luxury, and the colt was Fanon. Both posted nice performances, and I think both look horses that could make their presence felt in a higher class of race.
Yeah, and he also had Nabucco winning the Godolphin Stakes, yeah, in what was a thrilling finish.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Of course, you forget about Nabucco. So he's had four winners across the two cards. And Nabucco was given an excellent ride by William Buick, wasn't it? Tactically, he was very good with hindsight because he's raced away from the main group, nearer towards the stands than the rest of them. And given that he's held on by just a short head, you'd have to say that that was the winning of the race.
Yeah, got it spot on. Anything else catch your eye over the past week or so?
Over the last week, I'll be honest with you, I've been rather busy the last week. I haven't seen as much racing as I want to. I was as busy at the yearling sales. I went to Ireland on Sunday and came back on late Wednesday night. So
yeah.
Obviously was in here on Friday, so saw all of Friday's racing. But I'm a little bit lost with it all at the moment, Mark, truth be told.
Did you find another wow signal, by the way?
I hope so. We got five anyway, so hopefully there's some nice horses in amongst them.
Yeah, good stuff. And how excuse me, how are things going at the yard with regards to the back end of the season? Then you got the jumping coming up. How does it work at this time of year for you?
Yeah, it's quite busy, really. Yeah. The strange thing about this time of year, though, it's now the 27th of September, and we're still are waiting for soft ground to come.
Yeah.
There are plenty of horses that we haven't run on the flat, simply because they need a bit of juice in the ground, Mark, and it's just not come at the moment. So we might be quite busy between now and the end of the season if the rains ever do come. I'm sure they will. And then, as you say, yeah, we're in that stage now where we're schooling up jumpers. A few juvenile hurdlers are getting schooled up, and a few of the older brigade are back in training, back in full training. They're back in work now with a view to some of the early season races. So yeah, things are hotting up. It's certainly never dull around the yard at this time of year.
Good stuff. And we're going to move on now to the next instalment on the racing calendar, and that comes up on Sunday. We've got a good day to come as well with racing at Epsom and Musselburgh domestically, and some good racing over in Ireland as well. And we'll get Sean's thoughts at Epsom on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Sunday. Sean's picked out three races at Epsom for us, and the first of them is the 2:45, and this is a Class 3 condition stakes of the extended mile for two-year-olds, four of them in the lineup here. Christopher Marlowe, Good Contact, Marshall Jennings and Henry Hudson Bridge are the four in the lineup. And on current form, is it fair to say that Christopher Marlowe is the most interesting of these? Comes from the informed John Gosden yard, had the one start, and it was a winning debut as well.
Was a winning debut. That race was at Sandown Park. He was a winner by 3.5 lengths from a short price favourite in Master Apprentice. He cost $200,000 as a yearling, this colt, and that looks money well spent. Rab Havlin reported after the race that the colt was still a little bit green and raw as well, which bodes well for his future. That said, he pitches in against a couple of nice horses here in the shape of Good Contact, who ran in a good race round Goodwood last time, a race won by the Andrew Balding trained Make It Up. Good Contact was a beaten favourite that day, but Johnny Barnes, another nice horse from John Gosden's yard, was back in third place. You'd imagine that might on a line through Johnny Barnes, the Gosden team might hold the key to this race. It'll all depend how they rate Johnny Barnes in comparison with Christopher Marlowe. And the rock solid horse in the race is a Marshall Jennings, a horse who doesn't really know how to run a bad race. His only bad run came at Haydock three starts back. It wasn't a shocking run, but it was a below par one. But last time out at Doncaster, he was second in a very competitive nursery handicap. And I'm sure he'll give his running. You'd imagine Christopher Marlowe and Good Contact, though, might possess a little bit too much class for him. And Christopher Marlowe, as you say, is the most interesting given that he's only had the one start to date.
Yeah. Do you take a chance on him then?
Yeah, I will do.
Yeah. Okay, Christopher Marlowe then, the selection in the 2:45. On to the 3:55 next at Epsom. And this is a Class 3 handicap for three-year-olds and older over a mile and a quarter. Some informed runners here, nine of them in the lineup, and it is quite an open handicap this, Sean.
Yeah, not a bad race, and hopefully the nine runners that are declared at the moment stay in the race, so we've got a nice each-way betting shape to the race. I think, we'll start with the top weight of John Bridges, Star Watch, who's been an absolute revelation of late. He's been in the form of his life, you could argue, and he's up to a mark of 89. I think, yes, the highest he's been in his career is 90. But that was back in 2012. He slipped a b- bit in the ratings, but has really found his old form again over the last month or so. That said, though, I think he's going to struggle to concede weight to the rest of this field. Pasaka Boy is a horse who likes it round Epsom, Mark, and yep. as we see time and time again, Epsom form, if you handle Epsom, it counts for an awful lot. This horse won a big handicap here at the track on at the Derby meeting last year, the big three-year-old handicap, off a mark of 84, so only a pound lower than his current mark of 85. I'm not sure what price he'll be, but he'd be a huge contender for me. Storm Adal would be another one. He's a little bit in and out, this horse, but showed last time at Ripon that he was on a going day. He beat the in-form Woodacre by half a length. They put a little bit of distance between themselves and the rest. That was off a mark of 86. He's up to 91, this three-year-old. But if he is on a going day, one of his going days, he shouldn't be ruled out, nor should Jakey, who was a winner here, the locally trained horse. Jakey, he was a winner here last time out, although I think his overall level of form leaves a little bit to leaves him with a little bit to find this afternoon. And then further down the field, I think I'll probably be most interested in Yakum, the Richard Hannon horse, who's been racing over a mile and a half and a mile and six of late, dropping back in trip. I think the dropping back in trip is going to help, but whether it's a case of the handicapper just having him where he wants him now or not, I'm not quite sure. But I think on this occasion I'll side with the Epsom specialist, Pasaka Boy.
Okay, Pasaka Boy then, the selection for Sean there. Just going to mention weapon of choice as well. Anybody who believes in lightning striking twice or deja vu, he went into this race pretty badly out of form last year and won off a mark of 83. He's back and he's pretty out of form. He's on a mark of 83, so maybe he can maybe just likes this race.
Yeah, I think you've a fair point there. This horse, although that said, he ran a stinker at this track earlier in the year. So,
yeah, did you?
That would be a slight worry.
It doesn't look very in love with the game, does it?
No, he won an up to scratch renewal of the race last year, beating Benzano and Aussie Reigns as well. So you couldn't say it's impossible, Mark. But if you're going to side with him, you'll be getting a nice enough price, I'd imagine.
Yeah, still a bit risky though. Pasaka Boy, the selection for Sean though, and on to the 4:30 at Epsom. We finish with the Apprentices Derby Handicap, which is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a half. It's for three-year-olds and older. And we'll start here with Eton Rambler, if we may, Sean, because he had been knocking on the door and it finally opened over this course and distance last time. Do you see him having a chance of following up here?
Yeah, I think he must have decent claims of going in again. He's a horse who likes these types of tracks. He's shown good form around Bath and Brighton, tracks that that have their quirks, not your typical conventional galloping track, so to speak. I think he likes the eccentricities of these sorts of tracks, so a return to Epsom is definitely a positive, as is the booking of Oisin Murphy, who won the race last year aboard Omar K. Arm for his boss Andrew Balding. Of course, he's although he's lost his claim now, Oisin, he is still officially an apprentice until the end of the year, so I mean, him riding in races like this is a bit of a robbery.
Yeah.
There are some decent young riders in the race, but Oisin Murphy, of course, is touted as a star of the future, and if he keeps going the way he is going, then I'm sure he will get there. And for George Baker to have secured his services in a race of this nature is huge.
Yep. Okay, so he's likely to be one of the main players in the race. Sean, what else is in there that we can have a look at?
Right of Appeal was a good winner at Hamilton in a four-runner race last time out. That came under Joe Fanning, though. This horse took a keen hold. He's now ridden by Ahmed Al-Sabusi, who has ridden a couple of winners in the UK this year, but truth be told, doesn't look one of the better apprentices on the scene at the moment. So that would be a negative for me, although his form would entitle him to have every chance here. Pat Phelan's horse, Coup de Grace, was a decent fourth when last seen on the flat back in April at Newbury in a race won by Bob's World. I don't know a huge amount about Coup de Grace's rider, though, Paddy Bradley, who's only had four rides in public, so you'd have to imagine that would be a negative, particularly around a tough track like Epsom. Whinging Willie is rock solid and was second behind Eton Rambler last time out. Hector Crouch has won on this horse too in the past, so that has to be viewed as a positive. And Whinging Willie might be the one to give Eton Rambler most to think about on this occasion.
Okay, good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary then, Sean, if you'll spin us through your selections for Sunday one more time.
Yep, sure thing. All three races that we're focusing on the podcast are from Epsom. The first one is the 2:45, a conditions race over a mile and a half a furlong for two-year-olds. And the selection here is Christopher Marlowe, who's impressive at Sandown on debut, and hopefully he can build on that positive impression that he created here. We then go to the 3:55 race, and I'm going to go with track specialist Pasaka Boy to back up a recent good run at the track. He finished second. Hopefully he can go one better this afternoon. And then in the 4:30, the Apprentices Derby, I'm going to side with Eton Rambler. I think the booking of Oisin Murphy is huge for a lad like him to be riding in apprentice races is a bit of a rob, and hopefully he can make that tell on Eton Rambler.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Sean. Good luck with our selections and enjoy on Sunday.
Thanks, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:45 p.m. with Andy Holding and James Millman in the studio. It's Epsom and Musselburgh domestically and a good card over in the Curragh as well. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.